And it is January the 22nd in the year of our Lord 2015. It's somewhat of an important date. And in fact, a number of our employees here at the International Center are in Washington, D.C. We're going to be talking about that today on Ruminations Thursday with our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Good morning, Wes.
Good morning, Pastor Baker. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm preaching today, so we're going to cut out a little earlier, and I've got a couple of ways in which we're going to do that. But if anybody would like to hear me preach, it's at 10 a.m., which is in about 28 minutes here at the International Center, and it'd be an opportunity for you to listen to a sermon. We do focus a bit on the pro-life movement. Well, what's your thoughts on this day when a number of our employees from the International Center are marching in the pro-life march in Washington, D.C.?
Well, first, I want to thank you for us talking about that today. You know, it took me a couple days to talk you into it. I mean, not that it wasn't important to you, but the more we got to researching it, the more we got to seeing that it is important. And I like your emphasis is about pro-life. We're not talking about killing life, but preserving life, taking care of life. You know, this today in Washington, as you know, is the 42nd March for Life, which means since 1973, it's been 42 years since
wow.
The Supreme Court passed that you could have abortion. So I think it's critical that we continue to do that. In researching this a little bit, you know, one of the things that I ran across is that abortions peaked in the 1990s, and since then it's been on a decline. And like from 2005 to 2011, it's declined by 7-8%. And so the education, the awareness, and the pro-life movement, I think, has had a great impact in those areas.
I really agree with you. We now have a majority of people who do not agree with the pro-abortion folks that an abortion can occur at any time in life. Now, you may have a question for Wes or myself. It is open today. The number to phone in the St. Louis area is 821-0850. Toll-free 1-800-730-2727. If you have a question about the pro-life movement, etc. And when we talk about pro-life, Wes, we mean more than just the unborn, don't we?
Oh my gosh, yes. We're talking about end of life too. You know, those two almost go hand in hand with the end of life for a person in illness or old age and trying to terminate life altogether.
Yes, I was kind of listening to the news today, and they mentioned the pro-life march, and they had one person who was for it, but then they had another person who was against it, and her point was that it's wrong for Christians to impose their morality on the country. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, it's more than morality. It's a fact of life and death that go on out there, you know, and taking a look at it, like they say, well, you know, we've got to allow abortion for rape and incest. You know, roughly in 2011, there was 1 million abortions. Less than 1% had anything to do with rape or incest. In other words, 10,000 out of 1 million really dealt with rape or incest. The reality is that 4 out of 10 abortions, or roughly 400,000 abortions, were done because a person didn't want to be inflicted with their life. It was an unintended birth that happened, and it got in the way of my job, it got in the way of my life, it got in the way of everything that I was intending on. So yeah, it's a little bit more than morality. It's life and death situation.
Yeah, what we're talking about is a motivation of self-interest. That's really what's behind abortion, and therefore love your neighbor as yourself is completely out the window. What I would say to that lady who said don't impose your morality, that's what the Christians were doing in Nazi Germany, according to her, that we didn't want Jews put in gas ovens, so we were imposing our morality on the country.
Yeah, and hiding them in basements and in walls and things like that to try and preserve their life instead of allowing their lives to be terminated.
You see, what happens, and I really blame to a great degree evolution, because when you have an evolutionary mindset, there really is no foundation for morality. You can do anything you want because it's survival of the fittest, and who are you to tell me that I can't do this or can't do that?
I would agree, and it astounds me, you know, that they don't see it as life. Where do babies come from? But from human beings, from a mother, from a lady, you know, and the destruction that it caused, and the wreak and the havoc that goes on.
Well, one of the things I do in the sermon, I talk about that there are many who have really a problem with having had an abortion in one way or another, simply because psychologists tell us that after a few years, the guilt starts growing within them.
Yeah, I would agree. I've heard that too before. And, you know, in my years as pastor, it takes years to talk somebody out of that mode or that guilt or funding these abortion clinics and to get them over into the pro-life. But once changed, they're changed forever. And I think that's the good thing about us is to be able to tell them that there is forgiveness, and that forgiveness is found in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The way I put it is in the sermon, yes, the March for Life focuses on the plight of the unborn, but also reminds us that we in the church have the greatest good news that can be shared with many who are crushed with the weight of guilt, perhaps because they had an abortion, or they condone an abortion, or they kept quiet against this Holocaust.
Right, and you know, at the Missouri Senate, of course, you know, has a life conference going on. You know, today they're in that march, and that march is going on right now. But Friday and Saturday, they've set up some speaking sessions, and one of them is in defense of life and liberty. You know, why we would defend the life of an unborn or the life of an older person.
Yeah, see, it was a religion of Israel that those who worship Baal should not sacrifice their children to Baal. Now, can you only imagine in the United States that would be mixing religion? And therefore, no, it's perfectly all right to sacrifice your children because you don't want to impose your religious beliefs on the country. There comes a time when they aren't religious beliefs, as you said, but decent morality about helping the neighbor. And it is found in many religions, and even those who don't believe in a God, many of them still believe it's wrong to commit murder.
I hearken back to your point to begin with, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, that child is your neighbor. It's one of the simplest explanations that we sometimes come out of Scripture with, who is my neighbor? It's that person next to me. That baby that's in the womb is next to the lady. The baby in the womb is that father that also created that baby.
Now, when I think of that, love your neighbor as thyself, you know, there are times when, for instance, I don't really want to go to the dentist if I'm going to have some pain. So I don't even love myself to that level where I want to keep out of pain. And the thing that that I'm reminded of is Jesus' change of that. He doesn't say that we are to love one another as we love ourselves, but we are to love one another as he loved us.
Us, yes.
That's found at the Passover when he's talking about that. That is really significant, because even when hurt or harm takes place, it's still important that we mimic what Jesus did in sacrificing our own needs, our own desires for the neighbor.
And you're right. In a few weeks, you know, the middle of February is coming Transfiguration Sunday. And there, you know, from we hear the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And from the cross, we can hear him say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
I think that's critical. At the baptism, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." At the Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And we see once more that the way that we see properly in this world is through our ears. Christianity is the only religion that does that, that through the word, we get a proper understanding. Every other religion, through your experience, you get a proper understanding. So if a unborn child is going to get in the way of what I want to do, the world doesn't see any problem in putting it to death. But from God's point of view, that's one of his precious children. You had mentioned something that you wanted to bring up about the Pope and the conversation he had.
Yeah, so, you know, if you caught in the news there with the Pope, where a young girl had said, why does God allow children to be prostitutes, you know, or go through this? And I thought, you know, the news brought it up, but it was never really answered. But the girl that answered that was a homeless girl, evidently caught in that cycle, but it was the church. It was a Roman Catholic mission or some Roman Catholics that helped bring her out of that to save her. And, you know, my answer would have been, you know, God doesn't, and God provides for those to search him out. In her instance, some Christians found her and brought her out of that life of destruction to save her.
Yes, I ran across a tract, "Why Do Bad Things Happen?" And it's written by Dr. Philip Bickle through the Lutheran Hour Ministries. And it's about 24 pages long. And he does what I consider to be one of the best jobs I've read recently. Like one of the chapters, "How Can God Be Good If He Allows All This Evil? And What Is God Doing While We Suffer?" And he talks about pain sometimes as God's bullhorn and gives an example how that when the law really hits us, that's often good for us to keep us out of evil. Let me just give the phone number for Lutheran Hour Ministries if you'd like to get a copy of this. 1-800-876-9880. That's 1-800-876-9880. And the track is called "Why Do Bad Things Happen?" And it's by Dr. Philip Bickle. I knew a Bickle. I thought he might even be a classmate of mine, but it's one of the better items. But the Pope never really, at least we didn't hear an answer from the Pope on that, did we?
I'm sure he answered her, but it wasn't reported in the news.
Right, right. Yeah, I think you're correct. And I'll tell you, I still was impressed by 6 million people at that worship service in Manila. And somebody said, well, that's not that good because they have 100 million people in the country and 80 million are Catholics. And so, well, that's less than 10%. Well, I still think that's pretty good to have a worship service with 6 million people.
Well, the others had to go to work and keep the government running, the buses running, so that the people could attend the worship service. That would be another way to look at
it. Well, the Philippines is not a small area, and it was only held in Manila, of course. And plus, he went around to other places, I believe, when he left. I was impressed with the worship service. I didn't hear anything. They had very good readings, and it really was to support those who had been decimated by the weather conditions that had occurred with the tsunami, I think, and some other items.
Well, and I think there's another point we hike to is, along with us as Lutherans, the Roman Catholics take a very strong stand against abortion.
Yes, which kind of confused me a little bit because the Pope also came out saying that we should not make, well, how did he say it, to criticize
ridicule.
Other religions, or what did you say?
Ridicule.
Yeah, ridicule. Yeah, excellent. Well, ridicule is always in the eye of the beholder or the ear of the hearer. In other words, when people come out and ridicule or speak out against infant baptism, that is ridiculing our faith. When the Pope comes out for infant baptism, against gay marriage, against abortion, against women ordination, those who disagree with him think he's ridiculing their religion. So to make such a statement, I'm getting more and more convinced that we need to permit freedom of speech, no matter what is said.
I would agree with you 100%. Over the years, I've been, when I was in the parish, I was able to talk people out of supporting Planned Parenthood, going for Lutherans for Life and things like this. But it's that free speech, it's that time to reason with them and to talk to them.
Yes. And it's not at all. In fact, I don't know when the last time you did pro-life. Last Sunday was pro-life Sunday. But I was surprised where I was preaching how many people came up and thanked me for this, because they say you don't often hear this, even in Christian congregations, the pro-life point of view.
In one of my parishes, it was an ongoing thing for 3 years. I had a lady that supported Planned Parenthood, and she says, "Are you going to stop me from coming to church and things like that?" I said, "No." I said, "Are you telling me I can't come and talk to you about it?" And she says, "You can talk to me all you want."
Yeah.
And finally, what happened was she was unable to have children.
Mm.
She adopted a child, and she had my wife and I over with, of course, with her husband to celebrate the adoption and set up the baptism.
Yes.
And at one point of our conversation, I said, "Wasn't it wonderful that this lady gave up her child so that you could adopt her?" "Oh," she says, "I can't. That child is so precious, I can't think of anything else." Said it was a darn good thing that she didn't go to Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
Well, it was about 6 months later, her husband came up to me and said, "Guess what? She no longer sends a check to Planned Parenthood. She now is supporting pro-life movements and Lutherans for Life and things like this." But it's that ongoing discussion that we have with our people.
Yes. Yeah, we call that the third use of the law. What is that? The first use is the government use. The second use is the church's use to accuse us of sin. But the third use informs us what God's will is. And I find it really interesting that people have a good understanding, and that I've had people in adult instruction, they were not Lutheran, but they were Christian, and through a proper understanding of the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, they also changed their minds over abortion.
And I think that's why, as I said earlier, the statistics are showing that there's a decline, and we continue to do that decline. You know, the House in Congress today is voting on an abortion bill to defund it, to get our government out of funding abortions, and I think it's great that they're doing that as well.
Yes, there was another one I just heard coming in, that they were going to not allow any abortions after the child is over 20 weeks old, but they took it off the table, they said, because of a rebellion on the part of Republican women. And
yeah,
they didn't explain that, but obviously we must have some Republican women who are pro-abortion.
Well, you know, 20 weeks, you know what that translates into months? It's 5 months.
Yes.
How long does it take for a child to be born? Roughly 9.
Yeah.
I mean, we're over halfway through the birth process.
Now, I can't recall, but I'm sure there have been children who have been properly delivered way below 9 months. Do you recall, was anybody delivered at 7 months? I'm just ignorant of that.
Yeah, you get these premature births, and they put them on life support, and they're able to bring them forward and preserve their life. So, you know, yeah, it's 7 months already. Oh, my goodness.
Well, the church is the area where people need to come around in fighting this. Pastor Mark Smith, you know, is on with us on Tuesdays with the hymn. His church actually put crosses outside on their lawn, I think one for so many thousands of abortions, etc. And so at least in that neighborhood, I was a great witness as to that this is not something. The most important thing I think can happen, and the Supreme Court has allowed this, is states making laws in regard to abortion. For example, the one that is so effective is that before an abortion, you need to see an ultrasound.
I think that's a great, I was thinking about that today too, that it's a great practical way to say, look at this baby that's functioning, that's that's alive in the womb.
One of our vice presidents of the Senate, Nabil Noor, who actually was a seminarian assigned to my church, he is very active in helping clinics purchase ultrasounds. And he tells me that 95% of the women, when they see the ultrasound and realize it's a real human being, they no longer want the abortion, and 90% of their partners agree with them.
I think that's a great way and a proactive way, it's a pro-life way of presenting to people there of our, quote, morality as Christians, as it's life, it's real life, it's physical life.
Well, I want to really thank you very much, Wes. I'm on my way to do a chapel, and now we're going to have something much more important come on our program than we were talking about. But we have two ladies with us here who are going to be talking about thanking individuals who have given to KFUO, and they're going to share with you how to do it. But thanks so much, Wes, and yep. We'll look forward to you next week.
Thanks for having me today.
Okay. And Joni, just take it over, and thank you so much for coming in now so I can go preach.
Yes, you look like you're ready to go. And again, this morning, Mary Schmidt and I are in studio as we continue to finish up the 90 days of celebration. We've got about a week and a half left as we thank God for all the gifts that we have received and continue to encourage our listeners to support KFUO so that we can continue to proclaim this gospel message. And Mary, you have some names we can thank?
I do.
I should say individuals.
We would like to thank Mary of Edwardsville, Illinois, Celeste of Florissant, Missouri, Joseph of St. Louis, Missouri, Dan of St. Louis, Beverly of St. Louis. We'd also like to thank James and Harriet of Mount Olive, Illinois, Diane and Dennis of Frohnau, Missouri, Walter and Patricia of Herculaneum, Robert and Karen of St. Louis, Robert and Sharon of Oak Grove, Robert and Marcia of Valley Park, Missouri, Carol of, Oakville?
Where is it?
Oops.
Oakville,
Illinois. I apologize. We'd like to thank Kathleen and Kaylin of Redbud, Illinois, and Ruby of Redbud, Illinois, who gave in loving memory of her husband, Norbert Liefer.
And remember, these are people, we have the names hanging on our giving tree. If you've given a gift yourself, just a gift to continue the ministry of KFUO, we thank God for that. Some people have given it in memory of a loved one. As we suggested on your gifts, it may be your mother or father who appreciated the ministry of KFUO, a grandparent, maybe somebody at church, or maybe you are listening to KFUO. We are there for you all the time. Obviously, 8:50 a.m. KFUO is on from sunrise to sunset, so our summer hours are longer than our winter hours, but KFUO.org is there 24/7. When we're not on live, you can hear our music playing. You can go and listen to any of our programs. You can archive them. Everything is there for you. But most importantly, it is because it is the gospel message being proclaimed worldwide. I'd like to thank Christopher and Cheryl of St. Peter's, Marvin and Ava, St. Louis, Sharon and Roger, Redbud, Norma and Wilson of Carlisle, Illinois, Carol of Cordova, Nebraska, Chip of Tahoe City, California, Norman and June of Collinsville, Illinois, and want to remind you that if you want to send a gift to KFUO, you can contact Mary or myself. You can contact me by calling me at 996-1512. That's 314-996-1512. Or Mary?
You can also contact me at 314-996-1518.
And we love to talk to you. You can also go on the website, give a gift that way, but we'd love to talk to you, visit with you. Thank you. God's blessings.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.